Heavenly Father, just speak through me, I pray. Amen. In the book of Numbers, there's an interesting account which always fascinates me when I read it. I've been reading the Bible ever since I was old enough to read. The Bible has always intrigued me as a toddler, as a child, as a teenager, as a mother, and now as a nana. I still find the Bible a captivating book. Who else feels that way about the Bible? Good. Which shouldn't be surprising. After all, the Bible was written over a period of roughly 1,500 years by 40 different authors, all inspired by God, from three continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, who wrote in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. These facts alone make the Bible one of a kind. There's no other book with this kind of backdrop. The Bible is full of surprises. And the more you know about the Bible, the more you realize you don't know about the Bible. Well, I want to present you an account in the book of Numbers that intrigues me every time I read it. And although it was written some 3,500 years ago, the ramification of this true story has resulted in us being a Pentecostal church today. Gosh, that's a strong statement, isn't it? Something that happened all that time ago has a rippling effect on us Christians now. Well, I believe it does anyway, so stay with me. Let's have a look at Numbers 11. Numbers 11. I think we've got it up there. Firstly, let's get an idea of the background to the account we are dealing with. Moses had miraculously, victoriously led the people out of slavery from Egypt, and he'd brought them very close to the promised land. As you know, if you've read the Bible, the Israelites were a complaining, grumbling, whinging, whining people. One of the reasons for this is that they were accompanied in the Exodus by a group of foreigners who constantly complained and influenced the Israelites in a negative way. In Exodus 12, verse 38, it says that a mixed multitude also went up with them. The Bible describes this mixed multitude as a rabble, or a mob of people with greedy desires. They complained about everything, and they were in the children of Israel, within that group of people. Be careful who you listen to as a Christian. Don't allow outsiders or foreigners to the kingdom of God influence your Christian attitude. Only the word of God should influence our attitude, not Facebook. Not the radio, not the television, not the news, the Word of God, okay? The children of Israel allowed the rabble to influence them. And at this particular point in time, the rabble was complaining about the manna which God had provided for them to eat. The manna wasn't enough for them. They were bored of it. They wanted meat and the tasty foods they used to experience in Egypt. They missed Egypt, the place of hard slavery. Go figure. So off to Moses they went, crying and complaining about their plight, their food. They hated where they were. There was little good to say about anything, including God's miraculous way of escape and his amazing provision of manna. These little factors have been overlooked by the whinging mob. Consequently, this whining behaviour both disturbed Moses and greatly angered God. It appears, folks, that God doesn't respond how we feel he should to our whinging. This is worth remembering the next time we complain about our houses, our jobs, our families, our spouses, our personal looks, our church and our Christian friends. Be careful what you complain about. God gets angry when we complain about his provision. He does. It's in the word. It makes him angry, very angry. And you don't want to make God angry. Mission trips can put a stop to whining behavior. Can't they, Pastor John? They're a reality check. You should go on one if you find a growing discontentment with God's current provision. Oh, it did me. When I went to India, I was counting down the hours to get back on that plane. And when I hit Perth, I just wanted to kiss the ground. Oh, it did me a lot of good. So go on a missions trip. Well, it seems that Moses had more than enough of the people complaining to him. And this is what he said to God. I love it. Read with me. Numbers 11, verse 11. This is Moses speaking to God. Why have you brought this trouble on me? I mean, it wasn't God, was it? It was the people that were complaining, not God. Isn't this typical of people? Why have you brought this trouble on me? Why aren't you pleased with me? Why have you loaded me down with the troubles of all these people? Am I like a mother to them? Are they my children? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms? Do I have to carry them the way a nurse carries her baby? Do I have to carry them to the land you promised? You took an oath and promised the land to their people of long ago. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep crying out to me. They say, give us meat, give us meat. I can't carry all of these people by myself. The load is too heavy for me. Is this how you are going to treat me? If you are pleased with me, just put me to death right now. Don't let me live if I have to see myself destroyed anyway. I love that line. It's rather dramatic, don't you think? This passage of scripture should be called the pastor's prayer. It's great. Don't let me live if I have to see myself destroyed anyway. I think I've used that one myself. Moses is obviously under duress. Yes? He's tired. He's feeling the pressure. The weight of at least 2 million unhappy people is pressing in on him. He's leading these people on his own. And by the sound of this scripture, he could be heading for a breakdown if he's not careful. He's only human after all, and a very meek human being at that. Okay, here we go. Please stay with me. This is very interesting. God is so good. God totally, thoroughly deals with this situation. He deals with the inadequate menu, and he brings relief for his servant Moses. And his acts of goodness of bringing relief affects us today, because something was set in motion by the words of his meek servant Moses. Now that's got you thinking. In verse 16 it says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders. Bring me men that you know are leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting. I want them to stand there with you. I will come down. I will speak with you there. I will take some of my spirit that is on you, Moses, and I will put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the people's load. Then you will not have to carry it alone. Great. One problem solved. That's really great. There's much more to this, which I'll deal with in a little later. So just tuck that one away for now. God continues, furthermore, Moses, tell that complaining mob to set yourselves apart for tomorrow. At that time, you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you cried out. You said, we wish we had meat to eat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just 1 or 2 days. You will not eat it for just 5, 10, or 20 days. Instead, you will eat it for a whole month. You will eat it until it comes out of your nose. You will eat it until you hate it. For the Lord is among you, but you have turned your back on him. You have cried out while he was listening. You have said, why did we ever leave Egypt? God is sounding angry, isn't he? But he's fixing the problem. He's giving them what they want. You know, sometimes God may let us have what we whinge about. And in doing so, we are worse off. So be careful what you moan about. Parents do that sometimes with their kids. Who's ever allowed their children unlimited lollies until their kids couldn't take any more? Who's ever allowed their kids to stay up all night until it was no longer fun to be sleep deprived? Or allowed them to watch television continuously, so much so that they ended up with blurred vision and a headache? Or allowed them to play a marathon of computer games until they started to turn into zombies? Yes. It's a very good disciplinary measure to give them what they want sometimes. And this is what God offered Moses at this point. But Moses, finding it hard to believe that God could possibly provide that much meat for so many people, said, here I am among 600,000 men on the march, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month? Would they have enough if flocks and herds were killed for them? Would they have enough if all of the fish in the ocean were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, am I not strong enough? Am I not strong enough? Another translation says, is the Lord's power limited? Is the Lord's power limited? Only by our faith. Now you will see whether my word will come true for you or not. Am I not strong enough? God asks you today, am I not strong enough? The great I am is saying, am I not strong enough? Okay, let's see how this pans out. As you know, if you've already read this account, God sent a plague of quails. Can we have that picture, please? And the children in Children's Church today are making quails, and they look pretty cool. God sent quails, a giant plague of quails. They actually look really cute, don't they? They're really sweet. The whole camp was soaked in quails. If you walked a day's journey away from the camp, you would still be walking through quails, 90 centimetres deep. That's a lot of quail. They had quail bread, quail soup, quail porridge, quail steak, quail curry, quail lasagna, quail salad. The list goes on and on. I'm not going to continue with this side of the story. You need to read it for yourself during the week. It's interesting to see how God deals with greedy people. However, the part of this amazing story which fascinates me and I believe has a rippling effect on us today, I will now unfold. So hang on to your seats because there's only another 5-10 minutes left, so you can listen for that much longer. Hang on to your seats. This has blessed me out of my socks. Verse 24, so Moses went out. He told the people what the Lord had said. He gathered 70 of their elders together. He had them stand around the tent of meeting. Then the Lord came down in the cloud. He spoke with Moses, and then he took some of his spirit that was on Moses, and he put his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the 70 elders. When the Spirit came on them, they prophesied. Now, the Hebrew word here for prophesy is neba. Everyone say neba. Yeah. Neba. Neba means to cause to bubble up, to pour forth words abundantly, to be inspired, to prophesy, to speak or sing as a prophet by divine power, to rave, to play the madman. Sounds like a Pentecostal church, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit still does this today. When the Holy Spirit came upon these elders, when they were filled with the Spirit, it caused them to bubble up with words, to pour forth words abundantly, to be inspired, to prophesy, to speak or sing as a prophet by divine power. Now, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, when I was first filled, this is exactly what happened to me. I was only 14. I was so looking forward to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Something bubbled up inside of me, and out came a heavenly language. I raved. My speech became inspired by divine power. It was at a camp. I can remember being filled with the Spirit at a youth camp, and I couldn't wait to get back to my sleeping bag so I could put the sleeping bag over me and just keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was just such a wonderful experience. The heavenly language I spoke was from God. It was a declaration from the Lord. God still works the same way in us. But this story is one of the first written accounts of mankind being filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a common occurrence. Of all the people on earth back then, it is recorded that the Holy Spirit only fell on a few. Now listen to this. This is interesting. Verse 26. Two men had remained in the camp. Their names were Eldad and Medad. They were listed among the elders, but they didn't go out to the tent of meeting. In Australian vernacular, they were wagging it. They were not attending the being filled with the Holy Spirit class. And I reckon they were really rude not to show up when Moses had called them. Don't you think? How dare they? When Moses calls, you come. What could possibly be more important than Moses summoning them? If they weren't going to show up, then they didn't deserve the gift of the Holy Spirit the others got. That's what I reckon. Eldad and Medad should have been there. But get a load of this. A young man ran up to Moses and he said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So even though they weren't where they were supposed to be, God still filled them with his Spirit anyway. The people knew this because the evidence of the filling of the Spirit was obvious. They were pouring forth words abundantly. They were bubbling up with strange divine words, and it just hit them out of the blue. News of this strange phenomenon soon came to Joshua and Moses. In verse 28, Joshua, the son of Nun, spoke up. Joshua had been Moses' helper from the time he was young. He was loyal and faithful to the leadership of Moses. He was a very good man whom one day would lead the Israelites himself. Joshua was pretty cheesed off when he heard the news that these two men had received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So he said, Moses, stop them! Stop them! It's not right! Stop them! They should be here doing it, not over there. They haven't listened to you. Stop them! But Moses replied, are you jealous for me? In other words, are you on my account feeling threatened by this? That God is filling them, even though they're not doing what they've been told? But this is how the meek and mild-mannered Moses responds. Moses was not threatened by this rogue infilling of the Holy Spirit at all. For he answered Joshua by saying, listen to me, everybody. This is so important. This is the climax of the sermon. I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets. And I wish that the Lord would put his spirit on them all. The great Moses was saying, I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets. And I wish that the Lord would put his spirit on them all. Moses was truly the first great prophet. But Moses was just a little foretaste of the Christ to come. Moses, in this statement, unknowingly, I believe, prophesied the intention of God for all mankind. He did. Moses prophesied. He spoke it out. When you speak the word of God out, things happen. He spoke it out. And because he first prophesied, because he spoke God's will concerning his intentions for mankind and his Holy Spirit, 1,500 years later, the floodgates opened on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 verse 1, the day of Pentecost came. The believers all gathered in one place. Suddenly, a sound came from heaven. It was like a strong wind blowing. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw something that looked like tongues of fire. The flame separated and settled on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in languages that they had not known before. The Spirit gave them the ability to do this. And this is still happening 2,000 years later today. Hallelujah. God's Holy Spirit is available to all who believe today. In Matthew 3 verse 11, John the Baptist said when speaking of Jesus, as for me, I believe, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he, Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The prophet Joel, some 900 years before this amazing occurrence, prophesied, and it will come about after this, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And even the male and female servants, I will pour my spirit in those days. It is obvious when reading the Bible, which is God revealing himself to mankind, it has always been God's intention to fill his people with the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you today. Just like he filled the 70 elders of Moses, even the two that weren't doing the right thing, he filled them. Just like he filled the Christians on the day of Pentecost, there is only one qualification you need for the infilling of his spirit, and this is that you truly belong to him. You must be his people. Because if you are truly his people, you have his work to do. And to do his work efficiently and effectively, you need the Holy Spirit. You do. You need the Holy Spirit. God brings relief with the presence and infilling of his Holy Spirit. God brings relief with the presence and infilling of his Holy Spirit. He empowers you to do the work that he's called you to do. Moses needed relief, and that relief came with the 70 elders being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The relief of the Holy Spirit is available to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior today. We've got a job to do, people. It's a big job out there. We are his witness, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do it. So my question to you, which you really need to think about this week, is, are you filled? Are you filled? All you have to do is believe, if you're a Christian, to be filled with this Holy Spirit. For years I used to struggle, and then one day I just simply believed, and I was filled. As I said before, the only qualification you need is to belong to him. And then both young men and young women will prophesy. Both male and female will be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Are you filled? Are you filled? I challenge you, are you filled? And maybe you were filled 10 years ago, but you're not filled today. You need to stay being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Spend time with Him in worship. Open your mouth and praise Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What's a good thing is to read your Bible in the morning first thing and then spend a time of worshiping Him. Even in the car driving to work, you can worship Him. And before you know it, you will be filled. You will be filled. Just receive it. Receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I just know that you are speaking to people right now. There's some here that have been frustrated for a period of time, wondering about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I know today that you have spoken to them very clearly through this word. And there's some who haven't even thought about it, but today you are speaking to them very clearly through this word. It is your will that every single born-again Christian prophesies. It is your will that every single born-again Christian is filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you empower us to do the work that you've set for us. So, Lord, help this church to receive you right now as I speak. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon people in this place. That people would just start to drink you in, Father. That people would touch your throne of grace and come to realize, come to understand it is your will for them. You're saying, take it, take it, take it. We just need to receive it, receive it, receive the infilling of your Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you that you are filling people with your Holy Spirit in this place. The City View Church will be filled with people who know what it is to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Everyone, would you please stand right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands right now. Just worship Jesus right now. This is the time we're going to finish very soon. But I want you to encourage you as we're together right now just to worship Jesus. Speak in a language that God has given you. Just worship Him verbally right now. Use your tongue and tell Him how wonderful He is. Tell Him that He's a great Savior and He is worthy of our worship. Just lift Him in this place right now. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a good God. You are a wonderful God. Shamakori ana makina, shikari ana makina, sikari ana mako. Ya shamakori ana makina, shikari ana si. Makina kari ana makari ana shikari ana makori ana makai. O shimokori ana makina, shikari ana si. Nakina shikari ana makori ana shikari ana. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You are a good God. Hallelujah! You are a good God and you are worthy of our praise and our adoration. Hallelujah! We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now, I know some of you are very conscious of the people next to you, and I can understand that. So what I want to encourage all of you to do this week is to get on your own and worship Jesus. Put some Christian music on, walk around the house, or drive to work, or go to a park. Just listen to some Christian music and just start to worship Him. First of all, recognize what He's done for you. Be thankful for what He's done for you. Be thankful for the family around you and your church. Start being thankful. Being thankful helps you get into an attitude of praise. Thank God for all the goodness that is in your life, for all the good things. Thank God for your salvation, for your health, for the food that you eat, and for the house over your head. Just thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. And as you do, something just wells up within your spirit. and you begin to want to say more to God. And you become filled with this Holy Spirit as you speak good things to Him. Praise is the highest form of prayer. Praise Him and allow God to fill you. Just do it this week. Just do it. Have a go. Do it and be filled, because Jesus wants you to be filled. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for speaking to us all today. And Lord, may we do what you've told us to do. And Father, as we fellowship together after church, let our conversation be sweet and pleasing to you, because we know the Holy Spirit is within us. And so, Father, I pray that our fellowship will grow each other, will edify each other, and encourage each other in you. God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this beautiful meeting. And we thank you for everybody in this place. Amen. The Lord bless you all.